Consecration in the whole scheme of things is very, very important. Consecration and sanctification and holiness are first cousins. And if you get a hold of all of that together and put it all into a wad, then you have something. Now let me go here before I get back to there for just a second. Jesus Christ, thank you, my brother. Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life on this earth. Agreed? Never sinned one time and never fouled up in any way. He lived a sinless life, and it took a sinless life in order to become a sacrifice, an atonement for humankind. It took that. Had to be a part of it. But that wasn't all of it. Jesus then had to die. He had to be crucified. He had to give his life in order for that sinless life to make the payment, make the atonement. That wasn't enough. He had to rise from the dead. If he's not risen, we have no hope. So it took a sinless life, it took a crucified life, and it took a risen life. That wasn't it. He then ascended from there and sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat there in heaven. And so the totality of everything that needed to take place for you and me had to take place through a sinless life, a crucified life, a risen life, and an ascended life. Now, Jesus, by virtue of all of that, made a way for you not to have to pay for your own sin. You can do it if you want to. But you have to go to hell for eternity to do it. You can definitely go ahead and try to pay for it yourself, but that's the only way you'll get anywhere close with that. And I would not recommend it. I don't figure it's going to be too good. So what we ought to do is come to the place of being a rational, commonsensical, natural man and come to the place where we understand that Jesus did everything. We have to do nothing but receive what he made payment for, right? Well, when we do that, when we come to that place, when we come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the only answer for anything, that he's the only way we're going to make it out of this life alive, that we have a sin problem and he's the only one that can deal with it, when we come to that place and surrender our heart and life, lock, stock, and barrel to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into what is called the saved life. We're redeemed. We've been through these terms. Redeemed. We are justified. Right? We're born again. And then what happens in a lot of cases, especially in the American economy, because we're fat and sassy and satisfied, we come to the place after being born again that we become very satisfied. And in that satisfaction, we sit down. And we enjoy what we have already received. We sit down and we don't progress as we should in the Christian life. Now, just like he lived a sinless life, died, rose, ascended, it took all of that, God's plan doesn't stop at salvation. His plan continues on. His plan is for us to also be crucified, for us to die to ourselves, for us to have a risen life, which is to live for other people, and to have an ascended life, which is to have great and deep fellowship with him in order that the cycle can be repeated. That's what he has a desire for us to be engaged in this life. Now, when we're talking about those next three steps, we're talking about this matter of personal holiness. We're talking about this matter of sanctification. We're talking about this matter of consecration that are all involved in this process. God does some, we do some. We have a responsibility in some of that, and God takes responsibility in that through his Holy Spirit, which he places in us at the moment of salvation. Not once and again and a third time down the road. He gives you all of himself you're ever going to need the moment that you get saved. All you're ever going to need from that point forward, he places in your bosom the day that he saves your soul. Now, activating what is in there. working with what's in there has responsibility on your part. You do your part, God's done his part. He will activate and continue to do his part, but he wants you to be engaged in the process as well. Man has a great responsibility. God is sovereign in all of these things, but it all has to work together. Now, our jumping off verse for the last 2 weeks, and this week again will be in Exodus chapter 32. I'm going to read this real quickly, and then I'll smooth over to another area or two, and maybe we'll get back here. In verse 29 of the 32nd verse, it says, "For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord." Well, that implies that we have a responsibility. That tells us that there's something that we ought to be about. Consecrate yourself, do it today, do it unto the Lord. There's an object for this consecration, right? Do it today, do it unto the Lord. And then if you go to the latter part of the verse, you'll find out that there is something that is attached to you being obedient to that command. If you will consecrate yourself, and you will consecrate yourself today unto the Lord, he says, he says that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. There's an immediate blessing that is attached to consecration that you yourself initiate. And the blessing is immediate. That's an important concept that we have right there. Now, we've gone through this process and we've looked at these things. We understand that holiness is us being... Might want to find...
There we go. Oh, oh, hello. Here we go. Hello.
Hello. We're back. Good job. We've got a new sound man that we're training up here the last week or two. And he's learning and he's growing in that job, doing a good job with all of that. So we appreciate his efforts and all of that. It's all great when everything's great, isn't it? But the minute something goes afoul, where do we look? We look back in the corner every time there's a squeal or something like that. Whether they did it or not, we look at them, right? And so in everything, you don't ever look back. You don't even know they're even there until something goes a little bit awry. And so you ought to thank the Lord for the good people that he's put in our place here. You know, that things can go smooth the way they need to, and they will go smooth with stuff. So we need to thank the Lord for the people that he's brought in. Holiness is, we think of holiness being sinless, but that's not what it's talking about. Holiness is talking about being separate. Holiness is talking about being different, being unique, okay? You see, God is not just us, only bigger and better. He's completely different than us. There ain't nobody like him, huh? There ain't nobody like our God. And we're not going to become him. No matter how well this thing goes for us from here on out, we're not going to become him. We're not even going to get close. We have something to shoot at, and we'll have something to shoot at for eternity. Okay? Because we're never going to be him. There's only one of him. He's separate, and he's unique from us. That's what holiness is about. It's separate. It's unique. It's different. It's one of a kind. When we're talking about the sanctification process, we're talking about us being cut off from the lump, us being cut off from the rest of this world that we're engaged in, and becoming separate from this world, which means that if we come through that process and we separate from this world, then we will be moving Godward in direction, that we'll be moving in the direction of holiness, separateness in all of this. Now, consecration is a little more nuanced than all of that. Consecration is where we come to a condition. I'm going to need you to take that down a little, Daniel. We got a little ring in there. Consecration is us filling the hand of God. Remember that? It's us filling the hand of God. We have to understand that God won't put a lot of stuff in his hands. He's pretty picky about what he puts in his hand. And so in order for us to feel his hand, this is where the do's and don'ts of the Christian life kind of come in.
You know, we've got a book here that tells us what we ought to be doing and what we ought not to be doing. And the do's and don'ts of the Christian life are decisions that we have to make. We decide whether we will or we won't go along with what God has said. We decide whether we're going to, in fact, do things this way or do things our way, right? This is a matter of consecration, to put ourselves in a position that God, that we can feel the hand of God in order that we might be used by Him for His purposes in kingdom work. Does that make sense to you? Well, consecration, we separate ourselves, we separate from the things of this world. There are garments of consecration, there are vows of consecration that a Christian ought to make. Bible says, when thou vowest a vow, defer not to pay it. It doesn't say if you make a vow. It says, when thou vowest, defer not to pay your vow. What that means is that there's vows that we ought to be taking. That's why this old-fashioned altar is important. There's no virtue in an altar, but this is a place where those vows are made. It's a place where we come to agreement with God over issues in our life, agree that these are things that ought to be incorporated into our life, or agree that with Him that these are things that need to come out of our life, and we commit that way and that process to that cleanliness that God wants us to have at that old-fashioned altar. Now, you can have an old-fashioned altar in a closet at your house. You can have one right where you're seated, right? You can have an altar right where you're seated right here this morning. But there is something about using an old-fashioned public altar sometimes that just has a way of kind of sealing the deal. So I encourage folks to use an altar in a public place. It's a long walk sometimes when you're carrying a burden. It's a long walk when you're moving towards something that you know ought to be done. But boy, when you reach the destination and you lay your burden down, friend, there's something that is very freeing about that whole process. So I encourage you to use that method in that way that the Lord has provided. So consecration. Being able to feel the hand of God means that some things have to go and some things need to come into your life. My prayer for today is that God would show you, each and every one of you in this room this morning, that God would show you something that needs to either come into or go out of your life today, and that you would respond accordingly. The path to consecration is not easy. It's harder than it looks. But there is nothing more rewarding than coming into agreement with Almighty God. Nothing more rewarding than that. Now, there is a Siamese twin that goes with consecration. They're inseparable. And the Siamese twin that comes along with consecration, which is a piece of sanctification, is this. It's prayer. There's not going to be consecration without prayer in the life. And there won't be prayer in the life unless there's consecration. Prayer and consecration go together. Now let me take you down through a little list of some scripture here for just a minute. Just listen, if you will. And then I want to use this and we'll springboard to another area. Matthew 7:7, and it says, "Ask and it shall be given you." Matthew 7:8, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." John 16:24, "Ask and you shall receive." James 4:2, "You have not because you ask not." Matthew 7:11, "How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him?" Matthew 21:22, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Luke 11:13, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" John 14:14, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer. Colossians 4:2, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Timothy 4:8, pray everywhere. Colossians 1:3, praying always. Prayer brings God into any situation, and He brings it into any and every situation with great authority. It is not an easy thing to pray. It is work to pray. It is something that you have to discipline yourself to do. It's not just going to happen if you have extra time. It's something that has to be a part of your very daily existence and part of your being. It has to be structured. It has to be shoehorned into your life, or it will not be in your life. It requires our full attention. It requires our full devotion. And it must be predicated on the intention or desire to be fully yielded to Almighty God. That is what consecration, sanctification, holiness are all about. It's about being entirely yielded to God. This yieldedness that we talk about and we sing about in our songs, this yielding, this submitting to the authority that's in our life, this, my friend, is the basis of the Christian life. This yieldedness unto Him that we might be able to feel His hand, that He can use us in kingdom work. If we're not intentional about yielding to God, it's an exercise in something else. I have lived with 8 women most of my adult life. I work with 15 to 20 women every day. It's wonderful to have those types of relationships and such. I have made an observation or two over all of this time, but for this morning I'm going to confine my remarks to one particular area. I want to bring out this area. It's a very practical area: shopping. Most women can shop for a half a day and come home with nothing and yet enjoy the experience. That's an enigma to me. But it does happen. I have seen it and have seen the enjoyment that can bring to a woman's life. They went out. They weren't looking for anything in particular. They picked up and handled a bunch of stuff. And came home with nothing, and were very pleased with the experience that was had. I don't go with them, and they don't go with me. The experience will be completely different if they go with me. The way I shop is no fun, according to them. I start by knowing what I want or what I need. I determine where that object has the best possibility of being found. I go there, find it, purchase it, and go home. Huh? It may be okay to window shop and enjoy the experience there, but I think that as Christians, we have kind of incorporated that into our spiritual lives, this window shopping thing. Prayer can't be done that way. Prayer is a basic of the Christian life, and there is an intention and an intentionality about praying. We are not told to pray and pray and pray and pray and be satisfied with not getting anything. It's not an exercise in just blabbing. It's not an exercise in just talking to hear ourselves talk, and then deluding ourselves into thinking that we've been talking and praying to God. Because when we pray, friend, as I just read through a list of scriptures here, praying is asking for something in particular. It has a direction. It has a goal. It has something on the far end of it in mind. It's not open-ended. Praying has something particular in mind, in view, in focus. The consecrated life has something in particular in view, in mind, in focus. There is an end object to all of this that we're engaged in. It's not open-ending, ended frivolity. It is not, the whole exercise is not one in just being happy, enjoying the experience here. There's more to it. We are told, and there's a design. And the design is that we're to pray. We're to ask for something. We're to have an end in mind when we go to the Lord in prayer. It's not to go all over the map. It's to have something in focus, something in mind, something that needs to be dealt with. And the consecrated life is the same way. We are here. God is there. He has characteristics. He has work that He wants to do. He wants to involve you and I in all of that. He wants to fill His hand with us. And where there is a gap between us. And as long as we continue to keep that gap or that distance between us, we are going to be in an unusable condition. He wants us to progress. He wants us to become more like Him. He wants us to become more loving like Him. He wants us to become more gentle, more peaceful. He wants us to be more self-controlled. He wants us moving in that direction. That's the goal. We may never attain any of that. But we're to be moving in that direction. We cannot be satisfied to stay where we are in the condition that we are in. And the impetus and the mover and the thing that is going to make things make sense out of all of this is prayer. Prayer. And being very pointed with our prayer. In order that we might have an end or something in mind about where we're going to go as a destination with all of this. Prayer is definite. It's asking for something and expecting to receive it. Expectations, expecting to receive what we ask for. Living a consecrated life is moving along in the spectrum, in the continuum that we're along here, in such a way that we understand what God's mind and His will and His heart is concerning everything. And as we become more like Him, we begin to have one mind, one heart, one will about everything, and it's His, not mine. I'm not going to bend Him to my way of thinking. He wants me to come around to His way of thinking. He wants me to come around to His way of doing things, His way of seeing things, His way of getting it done with all of this, you see. And the only way that's going to take place is through prayer, through seeking the mind of God, understanding where He wants us to plug in and what He wants us to be involved with, you see. So this matter of consecration comes right back down to one of the basics of the Christian life. It comes right back around to prayer, to spending that time with Almighty God. We have to get beyond the idea that prayer is simply an exercise in spiritual fellowship whereby we have an enjoyable little experience with God and move on with our day. There has to be an end game. There has to be a purpose for prayer. And the purpose is us to move into the very shoes of God, to move over into the very actions and mind of God. And how to do that in less moves. Huh? Prayers and consecration are inseparable companions. There's a purpose in the consecrated life, and there's purpose in prayer. Prayer precedes consecration. Prayer rides along with consecration,
And prayer is a result of consecration. Consecrated man will pray. And a praying man or woman will move along in the continuum of consecration. They have to go together. You cannot separate the two. Prayer is the one thing that is prominent in a consecrated life. Now you think about it for just a minute. I want you to think about your life. If you're feeling pretty good about what you do and what you don't do, don't. Don't. Feeling pretty good about, I've got the do's down pretty good and I've got the don'ts of the Christian life down pretty good, don't even go there. Consecration is much more than a life of so-called service. It's a life of personal holiness. And there can be no personal holiness in a life that is not given to much prayer. So if you're satisfied with the do's and the don'ts, then you've stopped in your Christian life. You've stopped in your Christian walk. If you're satisfied with the do's and don'ts and feeling pretty good about where you are, you're not progressing as you should be. And I would venture another guess right behind that to say that your prayer life stinks. Huh? You know, we've got enough in the scripture that we've had here so far that I can really hammer on everybody in here today. Because there's not a one of us in here that prayed as much as we ought to pray. There's not a one of us in here that has prayed as much as we need to pray. But there is everybody in here that prayed as much as they wanted to pray. Right? And therein lies the rub. And there's the difference. And that consecrated one that is moving towards holiness, personal holiness, those individuals understand that they have to carve that time out. Those individuals understand that there's no easy shortcut to it. And that it has to go the long way. And the long way around is through prayer. And so, I'm not just going to slap you around here this morning and make you feel bad about not praying. I'm going to make you feel bad about not praying. I'm going to make you understand why you feel bad about not praying. Huh? And that's the difference. You don't do it for a feel good. You do it because there's a destination and there's a goal in mind. Right? And so we understand that if we're ever going to reach some point out there, we're going to have to go through the means that are at our disposal to be able to get there. Or we're going to live a second-rate Christian life. We're going to short-circuit the process. We're going to be happy with the saved life, and we're going to forget the next part, the crucified life. And we're going to do away with the risen life, and we're not going to experience the ascended life. And friends, you can't skip around. Everything has to go in its order. Get rid of yourself, and you'll love other people. Get yourself out of the way, and you'll love other people, and you'll serve other people. And when you serve other people, it makes you love your God more. And when you love your God more, you spend more time with your God. And when your God speaks to you, you're quick to respond. And when you respond in a way that humbles yourself, that puts yourself out of the picture, and lifts other people, and their needs, and their hopes, their dreams and their hurts, which gets you closer with the Lord again. And so here we go all over again. Around and around and around. So, prayer life. You got the do's and the don'ts pretty good and feeling pretty satisfied? Well, you can tune out. Or, you can get back on track. And getting back on track, I believe, is going to bring more benefit. Because everything that we learn and everything that we grow through here on this time and this time that we're going through now is not going to be wasted. Listen, friend, heaven's going to be a place of learning. Heaven's going to be a place of growing. And everything that you learn here, not going to be done away with. It'll just be expounded upon when we get to a place called heaven. It'll go on steroids when we get there. Some of you are going to have to go through the learning process, even though it be in a place called heaven.
So you might as well get started now. Might as well get started now and get moving in the direction that we need to go. Consecration. Prayer is the bedrock. Prayer is the mortar that holds it all together. It's the piece that puts consecration in its proper perspective. What happens with legalism and all these different things that we fight out there is that we want to focus on one piece of the life to the exclusion of the rest of them. And when you begin to do that, I'm pretty good at the do's and the don'ts, I've got this thing wired, then therein comes in the legalism and those types of things. It's when we understand that we've got to progress beyond all of that and the reasons behind it and the mortar that holds it together that we can then become very pleasing unto our God, and that He can fill His hand with us and use us in building the kingdom that He wants to build. He'll build it with or without you. He'll build His kingdom with or without you. But He sure would like to use you. He certainly would like to do that. Let me give you a couple of verses and we'll wrap up. Leviticus, over in the 20th chapter of Leviticus, just go over a book. Verses 7 and 8 says, "Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." There's a lot of those words we've been talking about in that verse. "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I'm the Lord which sanctify you." In those two verses right there, it talks about sanctification and the two people that are involved in it. Sanctify yourselves in one place, and the Lord says He will sanctify you. There is a union, there's a cohesion that has to take place there. And that's that Holy Spirit's work in your life and in my life. And the sanctify ourselves part has to do with us freeing up, being free from the bondage of self in order that we might be moved and used and grown by that Holy Spirit, which is God sanctifying us. Okay? So it's two part. Man has a responsibility and God is sovereign in all of that. Consecration is the intelligent, voluntary act of the believer, which is the direct result of prayer. No prayerless man becomes consecrated. Prayerlessness and consecration have nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. A life of prayer leads to full consecration. It can't lead anywhere else. Prayer, asking and receiving, makes consecrated people. The prayer life and the consecrated life are those twins that I mentioned earlier. The consecrated Christian prays habitually. Prays habitually. His first response, his first action is to pray rather than do. That's the habitual action of a consecrated man, a consecrated woman. If this is not your habit, then what we have here is a room of unconsecrated people. It is that simple. And so there's work to be done if you fall into that category here this morning. God must hear from those who are fully given over to Him. He will not deny the request of those who are dedicated to Himself. God can depend on a consecrated man. And God wants a consecrated man because they can pray and they will pray. And He knows that. And that's what He's looking for. Let me go to Philippians. I'll go to Ephesians. And we'll offer a song that you during which time you might want to use an old-fashioned altar. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." See what He wants for you right there? That's what He wants and desires from you right there. He wants you to be harmless. He wants you to be blameless. And He wants you to shine as a light among this perverse world that we're out here in. And who's He talking to? He's talking to the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Those are the direct creation of the hand of God, which are those that are born again, sons of God, recreated in the image of God, given the tools to be able to live in this old world as a son of God. And that tool being the Holy Spirit of God that He places inside each and every one of His own. The spirit of consecration is the spirit of prayer. And the consecrated soul, that's going to be the happiest soul that there is in this old world. There's no friction between the consecrated man and God. And when there is no friction, there is peace. And friend, that will make you the happiest person in the world. When you are willing to go God's way and you don't have mental reservations about anything that He's showing or telling you, friend, there is a place that you can live. There is a place that you can enjoy. There's a place where good things happen. His will and your will matched up. Two wills in perfect accord, working hand in hand for the furthering of the kingdom of God. Now, friend, nothing could be better than that. Reminder, Ephesians chapter 6, as we close. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I don't know if you've thought about it, but prayer is warfare. Prayer is warfare, and that's why it's so hard. You go to war when you pray. That is what it's talking about here. You go to war when you pray. And so it's easier not to go to war. It's easier to stay out of where that bullseye is placed on you. But friend, it's not productive. And we have to understand that sometimes the war has to be fought. And I would say this to you as Christians. That war is worth fighting, and it's worth fighting daily. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to come back to 18. Let me flip back to John for just a minute. In the 17th chapter of that, John 17, it says, and this is talking about you right here, because God's praying for you in this passage in John 17, great high priestly prayer. He says, they are not of the world, talking about you that are born again. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, that's you. He's talking to his Father, and he's saying to asking his Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctify them, sanctify you through the word. Through the truth of the Word of God. Going back to Ephesians 6 here for just a moment, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that is one of those pieces that goes right along with consecration here, and this prayer and putting the Word of God in there to sanctify and have that truth that we can understand what the mind and the will of God is. That's how we understand what that is, through His Word. And then we talk to Him and we ask for those things that we might arrive at the same place. That same place of consecration, sanctification that God wants us to arrive at. Things need to change in my life in order for me to get there. I need to be brutally honest, and I need to ask Him for those things in order that I might move along in the continuum of sanctification and consecration. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayers are to be combined with careful vigilance. Put on the armor of God. Put each piece in its place. Your heart, your mind, your body submitted, yielded unto Almighty God. No excuses, no passes,
No reservations. No regrets when this thing is done. That's what it means to live a consecrated life. To feel the hand of God. To be in a condition that you can feel the hand of God. Simple question this morning. Can God use you? Are you in a condition this morning whereby you can feel His hand to accomplish His purposes for this day? Or would He have to pass you over in order to reach over and pick up one that is available to be used for this day? The consecrated life. What is it that the Lord's bringing to your mind right now as an action step to do away with or to incorporate into your life that you might be usable, that you might crawl up into His hand and that He might use you for His intended purpose this day? Is there something there? Do you have a mental reservation in some area? Are you holding back something? Are you not willing to yield in some area? If so, this would be a good day to take care of those things. Prayer is what pulls all of this new life we have together. To pray well is to do all things well. And praying's asking. Asking and receiving. Expecting something to take place. Expecting what we ask for to come to pass. So there it is. Brought it all back around with consecration and sanctification with all of that and the little pieces of all of this. And prayer holds it all together. That's where it starts and that's where it ends. It's going to start and end with prayer. Stand with me if you will.